This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. What does it really mean to be a follower of Jesus? Do we have to follow Jesus' teachings all the time? Well, in today's sermon, Reverend Homer Larson will offer encouragement to help us face the week ahead while remaining true to our Christian faith.
A wise old bishop once said, "A Christianity that costs nothing is worth nothing." We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, when we think of Calvary's cross, your suffering and your death for the sins of the world, we realize how costly Christianity really is. For that's the basis of the Christian faith, and that is a message that you have given to us to go out and proclaim. God, we pray that as we enjoy the grace and the forgiveness of our sins and peace and rejoicing and all that you have given us, we may also realize that there can come a day of suffering. Grant that we may be ready at that particular hour to turn to you and serve you in whatever way we can. And we know there are many of those hours. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ. In many ways, we have made life easier than it was many years ago. Therefore, it is natural that we should like to have a Christianity that is much easier than it was years ago, too. But the old Bishop Ryle from England has reminded us that Jesus taught a Christianity that costs nothing is worth nothing. Those are pretty important words. And did Jesus actually say something like this? Well, let me go on and read the text for today. As we find ourselves in this Lenten season, Jesus is predicting his death. If you open your Bibles to the 8th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, verse 31, you will read, "Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and others, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Jesus spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with the disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." In other words, Jesus is predicting his death. He is going to be rebuked by all kinds of people, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, the hierarchy of that religious order of his day, said they were going to get him out of the way. He also went on to say that, "I'm going to be killed. And then 3 days after I am killed, I will be raised again." Those were hard words for the disciples to hear. And as a result of this, Peter stepped aside with Jesus and said, "Lord, you don't know what turmoil that brings to us. We have heaviness of heart. We love you. We've walked with you now for nearly 3 years. And then to learn that you're going to die and that they're going to kill you? That cannot happen. You're God. Don't you remember at Caesarea Philippi when you asked me, 'Who do I say that you are?' And I turned and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And you blessed me for it. You said, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.' But now you're telling me and the others you're going to die." And then I can just imagine that in their executive session, Jesus and the 12 disciples, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you do not consider the things of God, but you think the things of man. What you're thinking is that if I just will take a little bit of the Christian message off here and a little bit off there, it might be palatable for them, and then they will let me go on living. We can have a comfortable little religion of our own, and after a few years we'll die and that will be the end of it. That's not the way it is, Peter. This is God's will. God's will that I go to Calvary and that I suffer and die on that blood-stained cross as a payment for the sins of the world. Your payment, Peter, and anybody else's payment who will receive me as Savior and Redeemer. Now, the world says, well, it's perhaps something that we can use this Jesus for, but it's not that. That is the thinking of man. And that cannot be for us. Now he comes out of executive session, and there are other people who have come out there. And Peter is astounded at what he has heard, but then he hears Jesus say to the crowd, you are invited to come along with me and the other disciples. We'd love to have you. And on this March 18th day, friend, that same invitation is going from Jesus to us. I need you. This is the way that my kingdom is built. I need you. Will you come after me? Will you follow me? And the crowd hasn't changed a whole lot, I don't think, in these 2,000 years. If you read through the New Testament, you will see probably what Jesus said to them. I will give you a peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. You will have life with a mission. Wherever you follow me, and there's tension between what I want and what the world wants, follow me, and at the end of time, and the time could be at the end of that day, there will be a peace in your soul, for what you have done has been the will of God. But sometimes that can cause a little bit of suffering. Sometimes it can cause a little bit of hurt, and you'd rather go the other way. Oh, just for a moment, God, let me be a part of the crowd, and then I'll join you. No. If you come to me, you will fall short. We've had Peter in our crowd today, Jesus might have said to the masses. And Peter has fallen short many times and will continue to fall short. But because he is a part of my group, has confessed his faith in me as the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will grant him the forgiveness of his sins until his dying day. And that's what I will offer you. Think of it. Think what he offers. But sometimes we'd rather cover up our sins, live in our sins, wallow in them, continue in them every day. I see that in my own life. But if we will hear the voice of Jesus, it isn't that somebody has to give me a statement. Well, if that will help, let them give it to me. But it isn't that if you are a follower of Jesus, you're going to forgive and love. No. It is that. But if you are a believer in Jesus, his Spirit lives in you. And you know that you are forgiven. But then in the meantime, you must say, I will forgive others. And that will cost something. That's hard. I will love you. I will love you. I gave myself, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you. You will never have experienced a love like that, not even for the dearest one to your heart. No, I come with an everlasting love of giving not only my life to you, but my death, that we may be one forever in the kingdom of heaven. And I can assure you this. Paul has said it well. My grace is sufficient for you. That's what I first said to Paul. Paul passed it on to you. There will never be anything that I ask you to do that my grace will not be sufficient. It may cause you sorrow. It may cause you death. It may cost you being disbarred from some particular group who does not want to have you around. It will not always be easy, but suffering of one kind or another is bound to come to you as my followers, for my followers do not want Christianity or anything connected with it. So in our text today, Jesus gives us three questions, and our three thoughts at least that you and I can deal with as we think about, do I really, really want to give him my all? The first one is, in verse 35, what does it prosper a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What do you think life is? What does it profit one to gain the whole world? Now, first, you might have gained a lot of prestige. Now you can gain a whole lot of wealth. But you lose your soul. And third, whoever is ashamed of me, this is more a comment, a warning, I will be ashamed of him when I come in my Father's kingdom. These questions will shape our life, both for now and for all eternity. Jesus is speaking in generalities, and it is difficult to list some of these specifics for ourselves or for others. Is it wrong, for example, for a person to be wealthy? No. Many people in the Bible were wealthy. It all depends on what I do with the wealth. If I am greedy, if I never have enough, if I worship the wealth, then that's sin. That is sin. If I take that wealth and all my possessions and all the prestige that is thrown in because of some order that I might hold in society, that in and of itself is not bad. It might be used for some good. But if that is my goal in life, to have only that, then I'm losing out. Then I haven't taken up my cross and followed him. Yes, I can want to be a good influence in a society, but above all, it is not to have a great deal of praise coming to me. It is being used to bring people closer to God and the will of God known in a society that can often be so far away from him. What does it mean to be ashamed of him? Here is some suffering that can come along with it too. He's pretty dogmatic about all of this. If anyone is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, isn't that a description of the world? The Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. I'd like to go back and try to visualize what a day could be when two men, having to make a business decision. The one says, you know, if we'll just change this a little bit, it's not illegal, but it's probably not moral either. We'll all come out of it very, very wealthy. And you sit there as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they finally ask you, can you say, I'm afraid, men or women, I cannot go along with you. For you see, I am a committed Christian. I live in a personal relationship with my Lord. And as I sit here now, the Christ who lives within me says, don't do it. Don't do it. It's contrary to my will. There could be suffering. There could be the exclusion of you from the group. There you could lose some prestige. Or just imagine that the Congress of the United States and the Executive Group too, and the courts, who are having some burdensome questions to answer, would in the quietness of their homes some nights when they have left those hallowed chambers, sit alone with their Bible and God is speaking, and go back the next day and bear testimony that you are a follower of the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. And I have to make this known to you here. And if it be so, to the nation whom I'm seeking to guide and lead. What if those men and women would be willing to bear the shame? But if not, then whether it be the businessman or the congressman or the senator or the president or whoever it may be, even if it's me, and I'm in my own little bailiwick, and I have to say to my people, and to my friends, no, I can't. I'm a child of God. It cannot be so. Let me tell you, my friend, let me tell you, that's the message of today. A Christianity that costs us nothing is worth nothing. But a Christianity that gains my loyalty and my faithfulness is worth everything for now and all eternity. Hear George Beverly Shea as he sings, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. Be the king of the vast domain. than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. May today's gospel message help you to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is grateful for the generosity of those who have chosen to remember this ministry in their estate planning. Please make an estate gift, and it ensures that others will be able to hear the good news of Jesus Christ even after your time here has passed. For more information about making a final gift to Christian Crusaders, call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. The sermon you have heard today is available to be read or heard on the Internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Please visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to find out this and hundreds of other past broadcasts, as well as much more information about our ministry. For a CD or printed copy of today's program, you may call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of broadcasting biblical truth.